Let's continue reading verses 15 through 30 of Genesis 29. In this section, we have the record of Jacob working for Laban in order to marry his daughter Rachel. But we read that Laban tricked Jacob into also marrying his daughter Leah. Genesis chapter 29, beginning at verse 15. Then Laban said to Jacob, "Because you are my relative, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me, what should your wages be?" Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah's eyes were delicate or weak, but Rachel was beautiful of form and appearance. Now Jacob loved Rachel, and he said, "I will serve you 7 years for Rachel, your younger daughter." And Laban said, "It is better that I give her to you than that I should give her to another man. Stay with me." So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed but a few days to him because of the love he had for her. Then Jacob said to Laban, "Give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go into her." And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. Now it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to Jacob, and he went into her. And Laban gave his maid Zilpah to his daughter Leah as a maid. So it came to pass in the morning that, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, "What is this you have done to me? Was it not for Rachel that I served you? Why then have you deceived me?" And Laban said, "It must not be done so in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill her week, and we will give you this one also for the service which you will serve with me still another 7 years." Then Jacob did so and fulfilled her week. So he gave him his daughter Rachel as wife also. And Laban gave his maid Bilhah to his daughter Rachel as a maid. Then Jacob also went in to Rachel, and he also loved Rachel more than Leah. And he served with Laban still another 7 years. Once again, a few background notes. At first, it seemed like everything was going well for Jacob in the land of Padan Aram. He's been welcomed into Laban's household, and he's getting free room and board. Look there at verse 14. Laban said to him, "Surely you are my bone and my flesh," and he stayed with him for a month. But after a month, Laban says to Jacob, verse 15, "Because you are my relative, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me, what should your wages be?" That would be the Bedouin way of saying, "Okay, no more free room and board. I want you to stay because you're helping out and I can use a good man around here, but let's come up with a work contract." Well, Jacob sees this as an opportunity to bargain for Rachel to become his wife. Jacob has definitely fallen in love with Rachel, but he has no dowry to give Laban. So he says he'll work for 7 years for Rachel. "It's a deal," says Laban. And so Jacob worked for Laban for 7 years. Verse 20. So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed but a few days to him because of the love he had for her. As far as Jacob was concerned, he had gotten the best of the deal. Rachel had a sister named Leah. But Leah was not as good-looking as Rachel. Verse 17, Leah's eyes were delicate or weak, but Rachel was beautiful of form and appearance. The Hebrew word that's used here for Leah's eyes can mean either that Leah was slightly cross-eyed or her eyes lacked luster. They were not like the sparkling eyes of Rachel. Well, after Jacob served his 7 years, he reminded Laban that he had fulfilled his contract. Verse 21, then Jacob said to Laban, "Give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go into her." But crafty Laban came up with a plan for substituting Leah for Rachel. Leah was the older sister and should be married first, according to the custom of the land at that time. You can pick that up there in verse 26. Now, I don't know how Laban was able to pull this off. Do you? I've always wondered about this story, how Laban was able to pull this off. I think we'll have to wait until we get to heaven and look at the historical videos. Maybe because the women were veiled on their wedding day and didn't take the veil off until it was dark in the tent. Maybe Laban had Jacob drink a lot of wine at the wedding feast there in verse 22. But how did Laban force his daughters to go along with his plan? I mean, it seemed that Leah was willing. Maybe he had to tie Rachel up. I don't know. In any case, when Jacob woke up the next morning, guess what? Surprise! There was Leah. Look there, verse 25, once again. So it came to pass in the morning that, behold, it was Leah. Can you believe it? Well, here's a good question. Why did God allow something like this to take place? Answer, God was letting Jacob learn some lessons the hard way. This was a class in the school of hard knocks in Jacob's life. This was a course in the school of God for Jacob. We too must take courses in the school of God. And that brings us to our doctrinal or teaching points for this section. Doctrinal point number one. The school of God has a required course in how to respect the rights of others. The school of God has a required course in how to respect the rights of others. Jacob had never passed this course. When he was younger, he manipulated Esau into selling him his birthright. And then when he was older, he still did not respect his brother or his father when he participated in the plot to steal the patriarchal blessing. Now, we've already seen how God's will was being accomplished through all these events. But this in no way condoned Jacob's wrongdoing. Jacob had not respected the rights of others. And now here once again, in Genesis 29, Jacob does not respect the rights of others. After 7 years, Jacob certainly would have known that to marry Rachel before Leah was able to get married, that would be a slap in the face to Leah in that culture. Jacob should have been willing to wait. True love can always wait. But so what? As far as Jacob was concerned, he had served his time and he wanted Rachel and he wanted her now. He could care less about the rights of Leah. Well, Jacob had to learn a hard lesson here. God allowed Laban to trick Jacob. Jacob was forced to take the course, How to Respect the Rights of Others 101. You know, I think Jacob passed the course this time. Although he complained to Laban, he stayed married to Leah, and he never blamed her for her part in the scheme, and he was willing to work another 7 years for Rachel. After a week with Leah, Jacob was also given Rachel as his wife, but then he did have to work and serve another 7 years, which he did. I think Jacob realized that he had been wrong in not respecting the rights of others. I think he passed the course at this point. How long does it take us to pass this course? Do you respect the rights of others? Or do you just care about yourself and your rights? What about in casual conversation, for example? Do you listen to others and earn the right to be heard? Or do you just selfishly do all the talking? All self-centered. Well, don't be surprised if you have to go to God's school. The school of God has a required course in how to respect the rights of others. Doctrinal point number two. The school of God has a required course in how not to deceive others. The school of God has a required course in how not to deceive others. Jacob had deceived his father by pretending to be his brother Esau. He even wore Esau's clothes and goatskins to smell and feel like Esau to Isaac, who was almost blind. Now the tables are turned. The deceiver is deceived. Jacob had deceived his father. Now he is deceived by his father-in-law. Jacob had pretended to be his brother Esau. Now Leah pretends to be her sister Rachel. As Jacob even stooped to wearing Esau's clothes to deceive his father Isaac, Most likely, Leah put on Rachel's wedding garments to deceive Jacob. Jacob learned a hard lesson. The chickens come home to roost. The way of the transgressor is hard. Proverbs 13:15. Whatsoever a man sows, he will also reap. Galatians 6:7. The school of God has a required course in how not to deceive others. Are you deceiving anyone right now? Are you pretending to be someone you're not? Are you deceiving your employer in any way? Husbands and wives, are you being honest with one another? Teenagers, are you deceiving your parents in any way? On and on we could go. If you're involved in deception, don't be surprised if you're put into God's school. Remember, the school of God has a required course in how not to deceive others. Practical application. The people around you may be God's mirror and sandpaper. The people around you may be God's mirror and sandpaper. What do we mean by that? Do you think it was by chance that Jacob was brought into relationship with Laban? Of course not. Laban was just as cunning and crafty and deceitful as Jacob. Every time Jacob looked at Laban, he was forced to see himself. It was God's mirror. For 20 years, Jacob would be forced to look at Laban. Laban was God's mirror for Jacob to see himself. And Laban was not only God's mirror, but he was also God's sandpaper as well. You don't smooth rough lumber with oil, but with sandpaper. Laban was God's sandpaper for Jacob. And after 20 years of God's mirror and sandpaper treatment, Jacob matured considerably as a believer. What about us? Look around you. The people around you may be God's mirror and sandpaper. Example, let's say you have a problem submitting to authority. You always want to take charge and push your weight around for whatever reason. You find it impossible to submit even to God's authority in the home or in the church. Well, guess what? Don't be surprised if you find yourself in situations where the people you have to work with, where you're forced to work with them, they're just like you. They don't want to submit to your authority, even when you're in a position of authority. And don't be surprised if you get a tyrant for a boss at work. That's the way the school of God works. You will find God's mirrors and sandpaper in the people you have to live with and work with. And believe me, God's system works. I remember I had a boss once who was definitely God's sandpaper in my life. He definitely knocked off a few rough edges in my life. Well, God has his mirrors and sandpaper out there. You have any blind spots or rough edges right now? Look at the people in your life right now. The people around you may be God's mirror and sandpaper.